And that was Julian Lennon with Too Late for Goodbyes, finishing off Dutch Disc this evening and finishing off the week, one of the most extraordinary weeks at Stoke City, I think, we've seen, certainly in the recent times. A manager who, by all intents and purposes, was saying his goodbyes to everybody on Tuesday and then suddenly turns up at Swansea and produces the best result, the best performance that we've had for ages. And now we've got a dilemma, maybe not in the support, but perhaps in the boardroom. So we'll have a real good chat about that tonight. Wayne Harrison's on debut tonight in the studio. Say hello, Wayne.
Hello, everybody.
And you'll see him on Facebook. And Ange, by the way, is preparing a CV for the manager's job and getting Harry Redknapp to have a look at it over at the Regent or wherever it is tonight. So me and Wayne are covering for Ange. So let's go with the Sunday Sports Show.
Goal that took Stoke City back to Wembley for the first time in 20 years. Young Paul Ware crashing at home from the free kick.
This is always the lap. But no, it's meant to not different.
Well, what a week this has been, and to get the hairs standing up on the back of your neck, let's hear the fantastic Nigel Johnson just describing that moment yesterday in the 89th minute. Well, Wayne, I was somewhere ensconced in the West Midlands yesterday watching a cracking game of football, and when that came through on my phone, there was a loud, audible get in, because I thought, even on the basis of the Twitter feed that I was getting through, that Stoke looked like they deserved it, and when you watch the highlights, they definitely deserved it. But I mean, you've been on your travels quite a bit this season, haven't you? And you haven't seen a performance like that this season, have you?
I haven't seen yesterday's performance because I was on Abbasoc Beta. I've only just got back from Abbasoc, but I was getting updates during the course of the game, and every time my phone blinked, I thought, oh, as soon as the first one went in, I thought, oh, here we go. Every time it blinked, I thought, it must be 2-0. I was amazed if it was 1-1. And then no communication at all until virtually the goal went in. You just couldn't make it up.
I mean, what's the theory behind this, Wayne? I mean, you were there on Tuesday, I presume. Well, were you in Abbasoc? Yeah, you were there on Tuesday. Yeah. I mean, that was desperate stuff, wasn't it? I mean, Huddersfield were absolute. Yeah. I mean, Huddersfield were there for the taking, and we couldn't take them.
From an away side, it was a perfect performance by them. You know, they sat back deep, let us have the ball. We didn't create anything. Hoping to get a couple of breakaways, got one and scored, and we weren't good enough to break them down.
No, and you know, I must admit, I didn't see it coming, Wayne. I didn't see Huddersfield scoring because I just tweeted before the goal that you know, the Huddersfield are that bad. They haven't troubled us by shooting or doing anything.
At half time, I was convinced we'd win the game. But as soon as that ball went over to McLean's side of the pitch, you just feared the worst.
Absolutely right. On Facebook, we've got a number of posts already. Some people are asking where Ange is. I think Ted and Jules are asking where Ange is. Well, I've already told you. So you know where. That's not having a go at you, don't worry. Loads of how do's and highs and everything. Thank you very much for watching. Ted says, I think we should keep the same side as yesterday for the next few games. In any case, maybe just have Jack back, Ted says. Jack in goal.
I've never been convinced with Federici. Never been convinced with him, so
I mean, Federici out. What about Hogan in for Campbell?
Definitely.
I mean, I've been one of his biggest, not critics, actual supporters, Campbell, to actually get him in the team. But he hasn't really done me any favours since he's come in. Apart from that Leeds game, I think, where he played okay.
In the cup. Yeah. Like I say, he's got pace, but he hasn't shown much else. No.
Okay. Philip Pinchas says, what makes the weekend even better is Man United have lost. Well, Wayne was just showing me the latest score there in Man United. And I posted earlier on, I mean, obviously this is not a Man United shape, but this must be the worst Man United start since the mid-70s when I'm not quite old. I was alive, but not quite old enough to remember them getting relegated. But, you know, this must be their worst start ever. But, I mean, obviously they're as probably as fed up as we are, their supporters at the moment. So at least we've got something level with them. Nigel Carr says, evening, Russ. Best of luck in your new job. Thank you very much, Nigel. Top man. Thanks for a great show, mate. Andy Fernio says, with the rut Manchester City are in, are we concerned that they'll come in for Jones? There's the first sarcasm. You'll get used to sarcasm on this show, Wayne. There's the first sarcastic post. Who knows?
Well, if we can have Pep, yeah.
If we can have Pep, yeah. John Woodhull says, I wanted Jones to come good, but when he said he wanted to build a team around Ince and McLean, well, that said it all. My worry is he will go back to playing McLean at left back and also play Ince, who I think is just a show pony. Well, for me, I was quite pleased when the team news came through yesterday, Wayne. When I wasn't pleased that McLean was injured, obviously, but I was pleased that he was out of the team and Ince was dropped and put on the bench.
I didn't realise McLean was injured.
That's apparently so. Somebody said that today, but I did because he was dropped out of the squad altogether, right, so okay. He wasn't involved at all. But perish the thought, being a football man like yourself, that actually playing people in positions they can actually play football works.
Yeah. Well, you've never been a liker of McLean in the full-back position and always said it'd be Jones' downfall, so just goes to show, doesn't it? Yeah. Play people in the right positions where they're comfortable with them. And he's never been comfortable defending. And I know he works hard, but his distribution up front is horrendous. If you're a centre-forward, you just wouldn't know where to run because he just goes anywhere. It's scattergun. Either goes out for a throw-in, the other side of the pitch, or hits the defender and goes out for a corner.
Well, even late on, this is something that the previous manager talked about, Gary Rowett, and Nathan James has talked about managing games and not doing stupid things and things like that. Even late on, when we were chasing it on Tuesday after they'd scored, silly fouls being given away by McLean and other people, you know, on touch lines, and that's just what they wanted, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and we just fell into the trap. But like I say, I mean, coming to the Huddersfield game first. I thought that was probably one of the worst displays we put in under Jones. It almost looked to me as though everybody was resigned to him losing his job that evening. The players, even the manager, I don't think was as passionate on the sideline as he normally is. And it just looked like everybody was just going through the motions. And the one thing I've said before on this programme, Wayne, is it just does my head in at home where the players just don't get the game going quick enough. They allow the opposition to dictate the pace of the game. You know, when we've got a throw in or a corner, Klukas is trotting across from one side of the pitch to the other, and it's about 3 minutes after the first corner's been taken between the next one being taken.
Yeah, I know they've got to wait to get players in position because obviously they don't want to take it and get caught out. But they're just killing the game, killing ourselves. Yeah.
And it's something like I say, we've got to take the initiative at home, haven't we? If we get a throw-in, we've got to take it quickly. Nobody was showing for throw-ins or anything, were they?
No, like I say, it just looked like Jones was going to go, and the players had given up the ghost.
And then he came onto the pitch after the game, didn't he? For a round of applause, and he got booed by the booing end little bit. It was a bit of pantomime stuff. It wasn't really. I mean, we've seen the crowd be really aggressive before, haven't we? I mean, it wasn't that sort of aggressive booing. I think it was more, you know, just frustration that we'd lost again and whatever. But he still has the guts to come out there and applaud everybody and go round the pitch, doesn't he?
Oh, he's been the most like-that manager we've had for a long time, isn't he? You know, he's a bit like, you know, totally different styles of play, but like, you know, at least he buys into the area and buys into the crowd and what, you know, what it's about, you know. We don't want the next manager coming in just going to be a genie manager, just going to be there for the money. At least Jones cares, regardless of whether you agree with his tactics or his formations. He cares. He does care. You know, he's putting his heart on the soul, and he has made mistakes, and he's admitted he's made mistakes.
Well, you can, like I say, you can like the man and still accept that he's made mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm one of them. You know, I actually do like him, but there's things that have had. I mean, when me and you have seen one another, for example, we've been shaking our head at a few of the decisions that have been made, and obviously one of them is playing a left winger at left back who can't really defend. So I just wonder what he's learned from yesterday. You'd like to think he's learned that team had better go out again, perhaps minus Campbell, or as Ted says, if Butland's got his head straight by, you know, by the following week, or I think it's fortnight yesterday, isn't it? You know, perhaps bring Butland back in, but
that's if he's still in charge. He might not be in charge.
Well, we'll come on to that. I mean, just, like I say, after the game, it was just quite extraordinary. I'm not going to play the press conference out for Tuesday because obviously it's all been overtaken by events that have happened subsequently. But and on the audio, it's quite clear that he's saying his goodbyes to certain people. You know, Angie included, and some of the other ladies and things who have looked after him, you know, during the press conferences and things like that. I just can't imagine when he drove away from the ground on Tuesday, he thought that he was going to be in charge on Saturday.
No,
did anybody?
No. Like anybody expected.
I can't think of anybody I was speaking to in the concourse afterwards who thought he was going to be still in charge. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. But it's been amazing how quiet the hierarchy have been over this last few weeks. There's been nothing come out of the club, has there? Nothing at all.
No.
No.
Well, I think what's got to happen now is, I mean, over the international break, as you say, Wayne. I mean, he could still depart over the international break.
Right.
It's not beyond the, you know, after people are saying, oh no, he can't go after that result. I'd say it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that he does. And you know, the club, I mean, there's never any smoke without fire with these sort of things, as the Wayne. People have been saying, as you well know, that they've been talking to other candidates and things like that, and you know, while he's over this last week, and it's just. And what we don't want to get into the situation of being, though, is if he's like hanging by a thread game on game.
Yeah, no.
We've got to, you know, either we've got to come out and say, right, he's going to be the manager now for the foreseeable future, or, you know, it's got to be, the axe has to fall, doesn't it? It can't be a situation where he's on probation on a game-by-game basis, because that's just, well, it's just a recipe for disaster,
yeah,
I think.
Like, amazing what 24 hours makes, because, you know, if everyone expected us to lose yesterday, and he would have been gone probably Monday. You know, now it totally changes. It totally changes.
Well, and you'll see from the polls later on, because we've just got a couple of polls tonight on my Twitter feed. One is for the forthcoming game against Fulham, and it just shows you how one result can just change people's perception of... you know, because I'm sure the poll last week was saying something like Swansea, something like 70% to win that game on Saturday. Well, now, against Fulham, who are doing well this league, 65% of people think that Stoke are going to win. and when the international break is over. And our record coming after the international break is usually rubbish. So that's got to change as well at some point or another, hasn't it?
When was last time we won at Swansea? 64, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah. Extraordinary stuff. And the other poll is, because Angie suggested this, because we're going to hear some audio from Angie in a minute, because she's done a little bit of her thoughts from going to Swansea yesterday, is should we stick or twist with Nathan Jones? That was Angie's question herself in her audio that you'll hear in a minute. And 84% think that Nathan Jones should stay. And that's nearly 800 people who voted on that poll already, Wayne. 16% think he should leave. Now, I'm not surprised by that one, because even last week, in the depths of despair after that result, you know, on Friday against Forest, where we played quite well, there was a poll on there, and it's the first time we've actually done it on this show since he's been in charge. Is it time for him to go, or is it time for him to leave? And it, over, I think, 1,200 people or something like that voted on the poll, and it was like 54% to 46%, even then. For him to, I think, I can't remember, I think it was for him to leave or stay. It was one or the other, and it was, he was really, really close. And when you'd think with his record that it was at that point, four in whatever, four wins in what, 30-something games, no other manager, I don't think, has ever been as accepted by the fans as this guy for with that sort of record. As he knows, he said himself, he would have been out, wouldn't he?
Well, if he'd have come at the start of the season, he'd probably been out by now, wouldn't he?
So there.
Had all that season.
Well, there we are. So 84% of people think Nathan Jones should stay now, and 16% think leave. If you want to change that vote, you can just go onto my Twitter feed, at Russell Dutton, go onto the like section of my Twitter feed, and you'll find the polls right at the top there. Stevie Breeze says... This is, I don't know whether you know this, Wayne, but Stevie Breeze is known as the cheat.
Oh, yes, I've heard of
You've heard of this, haven't you? Stevie Breeze is known as the cheat, so I'll have to keep that going, bearing in mind Angie's not in the studio. He says he has to keep the same team. Ted says, nice seeing you on Monday at Wickham Wanderers, watching our 23s. Well, it was a pleasure, Ted. I was there working, as you know, but it was a pleasure to watch Stoke that night. They were absolutely magnificent. It's the best I've seen our 23s play for as long as I can remember. I'll just do a couple more of these, Wayne, and then you can start reading out some of them on the OK. George Harding says, evening, ladies, I mean gentlemen. Jesus, Ange has aged well, God willing, says George. The one thing that strikes me, though, is just imagine if we had had this Badu last year. Where would we have ended up? As I think Clucas, Allen, Badu and Atibo have the best midfield in the Championship. And what I would say is at least the bottom half of the Premier League table. Yesterday gave me a Stoke team back that everybody loves, says George. Thank you, George, for your comments. Alan Swindle says, just hope yesterday wasn't his marquee's moment where he won at Watford and he wasn't sacked at that time and hung on for too long afterwards. Well, like I say, we're not going to go overboard with that victory because we've had the odd performance over the last 2 years or so. We can think of Derby at home with 10 men. We can think of Leeds at home just after Jones was appointed and everybody was happy with the performance on that particular day. And then we followed it up with nothing. So, you know, we haven't got to go over the top, but, you know, let's hope we can keep it going. Neil Price says, fantastic performance and very surprising win. So pleased for Jones and the lads, but what do we do now? I'm divided on this. Give Jones more time or take this 2 week break to bring in a new man. It's a tough one to decide. It's even tougher for the board now than it was on Tuesday. I would have thought it was a relatively easy decision on Tuesday, but it's now been made worse because there are going to be some people, if they do decide to get rid of him, Wayne, as that poll there suggests, there are going to be people who are going to criticise the decision and not be happy, particularly if they bring in someone who's not particularly, not particularly, what's the word I'm looking for, gets on with the fans as well as he does.
Well, unfortunately, we have no choice in who we get, do we? We don't decide. We have to just take what...
Wayne's going to go on to the oatcake now, and he's going to read a few out from there.
Okay.
Go on, Wayne.
Yeah. Wooden 43 has really just said what we just said, but apart from saying Alan and Lucas were outstanding, and that basically the team should stay the same for form, and hopefully with the international break, we don't break the momentum up. We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. KU Stokey, greetings. What a strange week, and what a fantastic win. That's not the first time we have played well under Jones, but it is the first time we have strung together two good halves in the same game. Well, I can't comment on that because I haven't seen it. It's no coincidence that we have played very well against the better teams and very poorly against the bottom teams, Huddersfield being a prime example. Well, I think that's just basic because we've probably got better players but just can't break teams down. Huddersfield sat back and waited for the chance to hit us on the counter. We must learn how to win when teams sit deep and let us keep the ball. I think a lot of clubs suffer with that, don't they?
You know, everyone absolutely
needs a playmaker or somebody who can cut teams open. We played very well against Forest in the first half and fell apart in the second.
there are other examples of when we should have easily won against good teams and failed to finish them off the cutting edge. Hopefully we have finally found his best, starting combination, and he has to play Hogan and any one of the other three strikers up front. You said yourself, Hans, that Hogan and Gregory are the best combinations, so why hasn't he played them? It's very odd. I don't care if I never see McLean and Ince again. We are very frustrated by Alan because he likes
to have a free reign.
Oh, sorry, you haven't read really
yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But he can't do that unless the other good players around him in midfield can rely on. Very encouraging, but it's only one game.
Okay, right. Well, you just save the rest for a little while.
Well, McLean and Ince are Rowett's buys, aren't they? You know, £10 million we paid for Ince. I was looking at his stats this morning. Best by the only research I've done for today, like £10 million we paid for him.
And McLean six, was it?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous or five?
Yeah, Ince would be great. Ince would look good in a good side. A side that's got loads of confidence and banging goals, but he's just not the type of player you want now at all. Not at all.
Ince is my best description of Ince is he's a 1-in-6 player. Well, if that's how it feels to me anyway.
Yeah. You look at it, like I say, his stats over his career, and he's had like one good season when he was at Derby, and obviously Routh must have been there.
I mean, all the talent is there. Yeah, but talent, somebody's got to get out. Yeah, exactly. I know work rate is. Yeah. You've got to have the work rate as well. Yeah. Look, I mean, Messi is the most talented player in the world, yeah. But he works hard. Ronaldo is one of the most talented players in the world. He works hard.
You've got to have more than talent. Nowadays, you've got to have more than talent. You've got to have more. You've got to have desire, like I say. You've got to be prepared to work. But.
Yeah, but I mean, Ince has scored some absolute stonking goals for us, hasn't he, since he's been here. I mean, that one at Reading where he hit on the volley into the stanchion, that was just magnificent. I mean, and some of that, I think he scored, was it, now then, where did he score an absolute belter? Was it Brentford?
No, not away last year.
It was away, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was.
He scored a fantastic goal anyway. Oh, Charlton. Charlton, yeah. An absolutely great goal from the outside of the box.
This season.
Yeah. But he's, I mean, like I say, in that game we're talking about at Derby, against Derby, last season. Yeah. Tom Ince scored the winning goal when we had 10 players, you know, he was there and thereabouts. I just don't think we're just getting enough out of him, but not many people have managed to get a lot out of Tom Ince. That's why he's had so many clubs. So there must be something with the lad, I would think.
Against Huddersfield, though, where he was playing on that pitch, God knows, because he was just never involved in the game.
He didn't want it, did he?
No. They should be clever enough. Players of this ability should be clever enough to read the game and to be able to think, right, I'm not going the ball here, I'll go up front. He should have just gone up front with Gregory instead of being trying to pick bits up in midfield. What's he going to do?
I mean, when he's the floating player like that as well, he's got show for throw-ins and all sorts of things, hasn't he? In the offensive side of the pitch, and he just wasn't doing it. And I know, look, the difference between the under-23 team and our first team, and hopefully that might change after yesterday's result, is confidence. Our under-23 team at the moment is absolutely buzzing. I mean, they've won. I mean, before yesterday they'd won four on the trot. They're still unbeaten after yesterday, but you could tell that was happening. The players were dynamic, the players were moving, the passing was really crisp and fast. The finishing was, well, top draw, you've got to say. You know, the chances that they had weren't easy chances and they buried them. It was great to watch a Stoke team playing like that. And I was saying to Ted and Paul and people like that who were there, you know, that's everything we're the first team aren't doing. Yeah. And it, obviously the night after just proved that point totally. It was just completely the opposite.
Losing becomes a habit, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And winning becomes a habit, doesn't it? But unfortunately with us, we've just completely failed to put any sort of run together over the last few years. I think, like I say, our best run sequence is two wins on the trot under Gary Rowett. So, you know, this is what's got to change, and we just hope it might, because the players are there, we know they are. So let's just go on with that. Two Burgess says, what a win, hope this continues. I think it will if he keeps the same team. Stuart Faulkner's following on from what we've been saying there, Wayne, and says that dropping in some McLean and we win, as far as he's concerned. Liam Clarkson says McLean being dropped makes the difference. Lee Gould must know you, Wayne, because he says top man. Lee Gould, he's acknowledging that. He's not trying to deny it anyway, so he must like you a lot. I'm trying to guide him through here at the moment because it's his first time, but he's doing great, isn't he? Andy Fernio says, was McLean dropped or injured? Well, I'm told he was injured, somebody said, anyway, so we'll see. If Ange was here, she'd tell us. Neil Price says, Jones's team selection and tactics were spot on. He needs to stick to this with no Ince and McLean. Anthony Bradshaw says, good evening, Russ, but I'm sorry, I don't know the other fella. Well, the other fella is Wayne Harrison. So there you are, Ant. You've learnt something. And you'll no doubt see him down watching the under-23s or under-18s when you were down there, Mr. Chief Steward. Jenica Varney says, evening from Bulgaria. Very happy with the win. Hopefully we get on with it now and leave Ince and McLean out and Butterhands out, as she puts it.
Well, obviously I didn't see the game yesterday, but the bits I've read on social media, it seemed like we didn't make any mistakes. And we weren't punished for them. If we did make any, we weren't punished for them.
Yeah, for a change.
So it must obviously make a difference.
No, I think it was a professional. And I'll tell you something, Wayne, where I've seen a lot of blocks were done as well by people throwing their bodies in the way. Yeah. You know, it shows desire. But somebody's going to have to explain to me what's changed because, you know, where's this been? But we're not going to moan because it's a fantastic result. And let's hope it carries on. Liam Clarkson says, I think in agreement with you, Wayne Campbell's not good enough at this level. I think he might say yet, hopefully, but you know.
Well, I know a Shrewsbury fan when he was there on loan, he was raving about him, and even at the start of the season, he was hoping that he went back because he said he was brilliant. But whether it's just the step up and you don't get as much time in this league, or with the style that we're playing.
I didn't think when he came on Tuesday, he looked like he was putting it in.
We all looked worse when he come on.
He looked tired after about two minutes. Yeah. You know, and I've said on this programme, and I'm standing by it, I think he's one of the best finishers in the club when he gets a chance normally. But when he's had chances recently in the first side, his shots have not been crisp and they've not been what he's usually good at. Because I must admit, I watched him do the perfect hat trick in a game down at the Bet365 in you know, an under-23 level or something like that. You know, headed left foot, right foot. I thought, my goodness, you know, what a player we've got here. But, you know, and his finishing was great. He just needed it. For me, he was a one-in-two man, you know, one effort yeah, wide or over the bar, one effort bang in the back of the net. And that is a special player for finishing. But he just hasn't. He just gives that impression that he doesn't put it in when he's on the field, doesn't he?
Yeah. Whether he feels the pressure more, the position we're in, you know, and the responsibility, you know, some players affects differently.
Perhaps, yeah. Neil Price says Hogan and Gregory from now on. Well, like I say, Wayne may remember the show after the Derby game where I came back on the Sunday and I'd missed the actual game, but Ange was absolutely raving about them two playing up front together. Just an instant click. Yeah. And again, there's yet another thing we can't really explain is why after a poor half, let's be honest, at Preston, they haven't seen the light of day together again.
They've never started again, have they?
Whereas others who've been playing badly have just carried on being picked. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, them two clicked, as far as I know, so according to everybody else. Annabelle says, hi, Russ, I'm back after 3 months. I'm so glad to know that, Annabelle. And Mark told me you were... You were back on form. Ange, though, is looking rough. I haven't been away that long, she says. Stuart Faulkner says, you've got to learn. You get a lot of stick on this programme, me included, trust me.
I won't be coming back, no.
Trust me, you get a lot of stick. Stuart Faulkner says, Russ, I'd played the same 11 that finished the game. I think a lot of people were actually saying that Vokes played all right as well when he came on. Now, that lad's been getting a lot of stick as well, hasn't he? Martin Eagle says, I'll be the first to admit wanting a change after Huddersfield. One game doesn't solve everything, but that result yesterday feels like such a pivotal moment in the season. Well, I did do a tweet yesterday, Wayne, that... I'm not comparing. Please don't get excited at home or slag me off for this, but I'm certainly not comparing Nathan Jones to Sir Alex Ferguson. But Sir Alex did have a moment in the mid 80s where one player saved his bacon in one particular game, and it's widely known that if Mark Robins had not scored that goal against Nottingham Forest, Sir Alex Ferguson, probably one of the greatest managers that's ever walked this planet, would have lost his job. And I said on Twitter, was that Nathan Jones's Mark Robins moment as far as Stoke are concerned? God knows, but it's felt like such a, you know, especially to score late, because we just haven't been doing that, you know, and to win a game at the league leaders.
It was about 4:45 yesterday afternoon, and I had nothing on my phone, and I was thinking, I wonder if for once we could get a last minute winner.
I'll tell you why you couldn't believe it, because it hasn't happened for that long. And I'll tell you what, do you know, Andy Furnio, who's listening, I'm sure, on Facebook, because he's asked me three questions tonight, right? And he said, God, he's asked me to do the research for this. Wait, so see what your memory's like on this one, Wayne. Okay, so two of the questions have got the same answer, okay, but there's three questions. So when was the last comeback win? And when was the last comeback away win? And when was our last 88 minutes plus winner?
Like when I would have said...
Silence doesn't do as good on the radio, maybe, you know. And Ange keeps saying to me.
Maybe Chelsea, we scored.
Well, no. The answer is, and I hope you're listening, Andy, because I've done this for you. The last comeback win, believe it or not, was the last game in the Premier League away at Swansea City, believe it or not. Swansea City scored first, and Stoke won 2-1 in the end. So that answers the first two questions. What about the 88-minute plus winner?
Well, I'd accept the Chelsea game would be beaten.
Okay, well, it was actually, would you believe it, folks, the 15th of May 2016. 15th of May 2016. Mame Biram Diouf against West Ham United. Last game of the season.
Was it that late?
Was with a header. Yeah, 88th minute. Yeah, 88th minute. And that goal moved us up from about 14th place in the league to 9th. Yeah. And covered up a lot, papered over a lot of cracks for the decorator, as we called him at that point.
Yeah, is that what he's doing now, decorating?
Because he papered over a lot of cracks. Yeah. And I remember Ange saying, you know, we could get relegated next season, funnily enough. Before that, would you believe it, you have to go back to the 28th of December 2015 for the last time we actually scored a goal that late in the game to win a game of football. And that was, Wayne?
No idea.
Away at Everton when we won 4-3. Marco Arnautovic.
I was there, so I should be.
Marco Arnautovic penalty given to us by Mark Clattenburg to a lot of glee. So that was when Shaq scored that goal over that lob that everybody said he didn't mean. Remember?
That was a great game, that was.
What a game. And that was in the period of Stoke alone, wasn't it? The Stoke alone, just wonderful to watch football.
Osselu played well, wasn't he?
Osselu, yeah. Bojan, everybody was all involved, weren't we? Anyway, it's like sounding like sounding like going back to the Waddo years.
Just going back to the Ferguson reference. No, is this, have we reached rock bottom, you know, the last couple of games? You know, is this the bottom and we're now turning the corner?
The lowest it can go.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to hope so, haven't you? At some point or another, these players have got to realise if they don't shape up, they'll be playing League One football, let alone Premier League football.
Well, nobody's going to want to sign them on the wages.
On the wages they're on, no. No, exactly. Dave Johnson, and by the way, fire your tweets in and everything on that subject, because, you know, it's, my goodness, was it a Mark Robins known? Now, the young'uns, of course, will not know. Anybody's youngsters will not know. What's going on? Steve says, sort Wayne's mic out, because we can't hear him very well.
I'm talking too quiet.
So he's talking too quiet, don't worry. Cambridge Stokey says, seems like a paradox has developed at Stoke regarding the manager. Maybe it is his Fergie moment, funnily enough. One game away from the push. Leslie says, put Wayne close to the microphone. Okay, well, he knows now. He's gonna talk about it.
If I was on a football pitch, you'd hear me from the car park.
Yeah, he would.
Dave,
don't worry about it, mate. You're all right. Dave Johnson says, got to keep the team that finished the game for the next match better without Ince and McLean. Scott Price says, evening, Russ. Brilliant win yesterday. And the scenes at the end were amazing. Fantastic performance and nice to have that winning feeling again. John Campbell says, statistic, James McLean has only started in two games in our 8 wins last year. That's interesting. Lee says he was injured. Yeah, that's right. Dave Johnson says if he goes back to having McLean and Inson, he's asking for the sack. I think me and Wayne would nod our heads at that.
If he changed that side, he'd be Lynch money.
That's right. Nigel Carr says Jones will stay. End of. Good man, and it will come good. The club can't keep sacking managers. Pardew and Pulis are not the future. Keep faith in Jones. Well, I've got to be honest. I was almost to the point where I would stomach the return of Taylor Pulis for 18 months after Tuesday. I was. And I've got nothing personal against him. I just thought by the end, as being one of the most vociferous people, by the end of Tony's reign to get rid of him, that's one hell of a change on my point of view. But
as long as Tony Scholes is there, he won't come back.
No, we've said that on the programme before, and I don't think people realise, you know, the obstacle that is for him coming back. To be honest,
Tony Scholes on the board.
I would think it possibly all stemmed from Denver Bar. The rumor is that Tony desperately wanted to sign him, and then because of the scan, they went against that. But that's the rumor, but it may not be accurate, of course, as always with these sort of things.
And John Coates, you know, stuck his hand in the air with Jones. You know, he wanted him. You know, he made a big song and dance about him. You know.
Well, that's it. Yeah. That may have even made him survive this week, and you never know. Whether it was dilly-dallying or whether it was...
Maybe they couldn't get anybody in.
Well, that's it. I mean, the rumour is that they have been somebody's turned them down. But, whether it was dilly-dallying, whether it was deliberate, it might turn out to be the best decision they've ever made by doing nothing. You never know, do you, Wayne?
If we're a mid-table, possibly we could have got some of these people that supposedly turned us down. But when you're rock bottom, you know, and we're in free-fall, you know, people's reputation, they're putting their reputation on the line.
I must admit, though, Wayne, if they saw that performance, potential candidates saw that performance yesterday, where I was just waiting to see a performance like that at home, aren't you? You know, I mean, the crowd are desperate to see something like that. Yeah. You know, it was raining shots in, hitting crossbars, you know, doing all that sort of stuff. Nigel Warham says, I want him to be successful with Stoke and not another club in the future. But he thinks that was his strongest team he put out yesterday. Stick with it, barring injuries, instead of putting round pegs in square holes. Andy Furnio says, nice to see Jones making the right subs at the right time, realising Campbell was out of the game, and Gregory, for all his hard work, was never going to score. No, he missed three great chances yesterday, Lee Gregory.
Did he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, it's three great chances.
Because somebody texted me this morning and said they'd listen to you on the radio. And they said Gregory should have scored a hat trick. If you listen on the radio, you know he's supposed to
score. I've seen him. He should have. He should definitely have scored. Yeah, yesterday, Gregory.
But he puts some of the players to shame. You know, his work rate. You know. When he come off at Huddersfield.
Did you notice on Tuesday he was still barking orders on the side of the pitch when he came off, and that was just as he was coming round the pitch. They scored.
Yeah.
And you could see the look on his face when his head went down, and he was just desolate. So he feels it. That lad does. He's certainly one of the better characters I think we've got. Wayne, Gary Clulow says Thibaut and Endai could be the basis of a quality team. Both look happy at the moment. Do you think Stoke could tie them down with some good contracts? That's a great question, but I don't think I can't imagine Badu Endai wanting to stay. I would strongly say that his agents probably advised him, look, Badu, if you want to get out of Stoke, you better start playing.
And also, they've got financial fair play. You know, absolutely. People don't realise, you know, how much that's crippling us.
We're going to have to get rid of some players on some money at some point.
A lot of people criticising Jones's signings, but he ain't been able to make them because we can't spend the money because the financial fair play. We can't go out and spend that type of money.
Absolutely.
Because we'll be getting docked points.
We will.
You know, Rabbit blew all the money last year.
I think this season is not the problem. It's next season that's the problem if we're still in this league, according to Ange. And Ange understands financial fair play a lot better than I do. Yeah. But anyway, but like you say, I've been saying this for eight. This is why I can't understand it, Wayne. When you talk about Badu and Dai, Atibo, Allen, and even Klukas, who I think's having a decent season, Klukas, forget he scored yesterday. Yeah. He's having a decent season, especially if he plays out there on the left, where I think he's even better as a player than central. He reminds me of Nigel Gleghorn. Nigel Gleghorn,
when he was at Stoke was much better when he was out there and popping up at the back post and scoring goals with headers or whatever. But if that four, Wayne, can't control and win your games of football in this league, let alone be bottom, God help us.
If we can keep clean sheets.
I mean, every manager in the league would want them four players. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
We've just got to keep clean sheets.
Absolutely. Yeah. What Melanie says and brings us right back down to earth, and she's right what she says. One win changes nothing. No. And it doesn't. I mean, but
it changed Saturday night for everybody.
Well, that's what I mean. When you say changes nothing, it doesn't change what's happened over the previous 40-odd games. Yeah. But what it does do is it lifts everybody, hopefully, for the next home game against Fulham. But, you know, well, like I say, anything could happen between now and Fulham, like you've said, Wayne.
Yeah.
The manager could be gone. And Andy Firnio says, apart from more than doubling our points total, that's what one win has done, which is a great comment. But you're both right, to be fair. Lee Stokey says, I'm shocked at the Jones loving after one win. Wake up and smell the roses. It's been absolutely shocking. Poor team selections, his substitutions and his tactics. It stands to reason that we will win one now and again. Swansea were awful. Well, that's been the issue over the last... Two or three years, Wayne, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We've won one game and played well in a month of Sundays, and then he's not done anything else.
We've got to back it up now, aren't we?
Absolutely. Well, you're going to check on the oat cake in a minute, aren't you, and catch up with that, and then you can read them out nice and loud, Wayne. Nice and loud, because everybody's telling me.
People are too much.
Wendy Dowling says, forget the first minute. What a phenomenal performance. Jones must keep a winning side. Dan Eyre says, I'm so happy with the result, but the last 2 to 3 years have left me reluctantly wondering if it's another false dawn. I really hope that now we have broken the winless run, we can now move on and start the momentum back up the table. Same team, but swap Hogan for Campbell. They deserve it. Campbell, I so wanted him to come good, but seemed to be reluctant to close down or chase the ball. And Melanie Stanway is still saying we're still bottom, which is a fact. You can't argue with that. I'll do a couple more, Wayne, and then you're away. Craig Barnett says, great result and performance. It's given everybody a lift, but we need to keep our feet on the ground and not get carried away. This is one result and performance we've waited for, but as the saying goes, one swallow doesn't make a summer. We've been here before with good performances against the likes of Derby and then not followed it up in the next game, which is very true. We've covered that. I just hope Jones keeps the same team for the Fulham game. My fear is he will draft McLean and Ince back into the fold, players who I see as the weak links in the squad. I can't help but think, was that a performance for Jones or a possible new manager? Well, I'll say this to you, Craig, that I should think vast majority of supporters would agree with you that Ince and McLean are the weak links. Well, certainly McLean defensively. I happen to think he's not been too bad going forward this season, but Ince has not done anything for the manager, I have to say, apart from that Charlton goal. And we still lost the game, didn't we? But there you go. So, okay, Wayne, nice and loud. What have we got on there?
I was just going to say something.
It'll come to you when you're reading that out.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, we're just on about how well they played yesterday. Like I said. Yeah. Everybody said who saw the game or went, how well we played. You know, and if he starts tinkering with his side, then surely his coaching staff and the people around him have got to stand up and say, what are you doing? If he changes it, you know, what are you doing?
Well,
you know,
it's idiotic, isn't it? If he
well, it's
got to be honest. Yeah, it's just suicide. Yeah.
Well, that'll show how strong the people are around him if the performance is that good.
Well, but the worrying thing for me is that this is not, like I say, people say I've been too supportive of James, you know, Wayne and Crouch Potato, which is Stokey SOS, is one of them. But it does worry me a bit that it's taken him this long. And would he have changed that team yesterday if McLean hadn't been injured?
Well, sometimes,
because I do wonder, you know, why it's taken a man with all his, you know, all his coaching badges, all his experience and stuff. I know he's a young man, but he's done played plenty of football.
Yeah.
If he couldn't see that McLean, which was not his fault, you can only do what you can do as a footballer, and McLean will give him everything.
Yeah.
But if he couldn't see that McLean couldn't defend, that's a bit of a worry. And anybody who's got
you can see every team we've played as this season has highlighted that
that side of the pitch. Get the ball down that side of the pitch.
And you'd think it would have been changed. I know Bruno Martins Indy wasn't available straight away at the start of the season. Neither was Badu. And the reasons for that, I'm sure, will be long discussed and in people's autobiographies, I'm sure. But as soon as Bruno became available, surely Bruno is the only person in that club now at the moment who can play that role with any sort of suitability. So
if he stays fit, now.
It's taken him a while to work it out, but surely if he stays here till January, at least, that's got to be the absolute... If it's not happening now, you know, doing a deal for someone to come in on loan at least till the end of the season. Yeah. I can't fathom that, the way it was left so open. Can you?
No,
letting Peters go before we got a decent replacement.
Well, Peters was getting hammered the season before by every man and his dog, how he was playing. And then he was out that night in Cheshire, you know, when we had a big game, you know, so you reap what you sow, don't you?
Okay, what have we got?
Magwitch.
Okay.
Yesterday's match was as welcoming as it was surprising. It seemed to highlight the extent of the underperformance this season, when a team at the top of the Championship can be outplayed on their own ground.
Hmm.
But what has been learned from the game, and what can be done by the manager Jones, assuming he is still here, to produce performances like that in the future? Number one is that the team benefited from the absence of Ince and McLean. Number two is Hogan is more likely to score than any other striker on the books. Is he top scorer now?
Hogan?
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
I don't think he's... Is that top scorer?
I don't know. Number three is... The dogged persistence with the diamond formation is a mistake and has been a major factor in producing the 8 losing matches so far this season. After all, McLean was selected at left back only because he thought to have the potential as an ideal wing back, despite his defensive frailties. Jones seemed to be oblivious that he is advocating the admission of wingers at the club, which produced the greatest winger of them all, whose statue stands outside the ground. I have never heard this point of view expressed on Radio Stoke, but I still believe that an outstanding winger can do more for a football team than any other player, other things being equal, and supporters of a certain vintage still remember the Wizard of the Dribble. This is what the game is all about, and we have the most promising winger now on loan at Bolton. Can anyone name a winger of international repute who had played for Bolton Wanderers?
On that very point, Verlinden, you're going to say, go on.
Yeah, well, Verlinden wanted to go, and he wanted to play football.
And Nathan couldn't guarantee him. You
can't guarantee players football, can you?
No.
But he should have been given a chance. He should have been given.
I don't understand why he was dropped after that Reading game when he was man of the match by everybody's opinion, I think.
He come on at Charlton away and he made things happen then. He had a couple of chances. He probably could have done better with him when he got to the 6-yard box. He pulled one into the side netting. But he makes things happen. He does make things happen.
See, Andrew always says to me, well, obviously we don't see what happens in the week, do we? That's the one thing we don't see.
No.
So clearly Ince is impressing him on the training ground. There's no doubt about that, Wayne, or else he wouldn't be picked, would he?
There must be a lot happening at the training ground.
Go on, you read the last one out and then we'll hear from Andrew's thoughts.
Couch potato one.
Okay.
Evening to you both. Well, where to start after the week we've had? Tuesday against Huddersfield was as poor as it can get for me.
Correct.
I expected Jones to be sacked the day after.
Yeah.
From all reports from the so-called in the nose, if we had been given the green light on a prospective new manager, it would have happened, and especially after his resignation interview after Huddersfield and the farce of the hastily arranged press conference on Thursday. Then on to yesterday, where none of us could have expected that performance on the scoreline after recent events. After a dogged opening, we played really well and for once looked like a team. It can't be a coincidence that Ince and McLean didn't start and we produced our best performance of the season. What happens next? I really haven't got a clue, to be honest, but I would now be amazed if they let him go after what happened yesterday. But with our owners, who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Well, that's the best post of the week, I think. I'll do, Steve. I'll give you that, because I tell you what, anybody who thinks it isn't a toss up that he's here for the Fulham game, had better think again, because I still think it is. And anyway, let's hear from Ange. You're probably missing Ange's dulcet tones anyway. So she's done an audio clip for us. So I don't know what she said in here. So this could be slagging me off. But I'll play it anyway.
So, just a quick one from me about yesterday. Well, that was unexpected, particularly after the lacklustre performance against Huddersfield, when we all felt that that was the end of our manager. And no doubt you'll be listening to what he said after the game. But my word, what a difference a few days makes. And you wonder where that performance came from. Maybe it was the fact that Etterbone and Dye are professional, that Klukas certainly had something to prove against the former club, Joe Allen back against the former club, Vokes and Hogan obviously wanting to prove why they should be in the team. Tom Edwards got better as the game progressed. The first 20 minutes he was a little bit all over the shop, but we changed the formation into this loved diamond where we got wider and where the defence and the midfielders worked better rather than having the large gaps to recover. And if I'm being honest, we should have won by more goals than we did. Lee Gregory had a couple of chances which he didn't finish. And it was just everything that we deserved, the victory. So enjoy the show. My last question to everybody is, do Stoke stick or twist? My own belief is that he will get at least the Fulham game. And we might be looking match to match for the next few weeks. And you know what? All the names that have been bandied about, those that won't come, those that might come, I don't know whether we would be better off with some of the might comes that are on what might be the B or C or Z list. But it's nice not to have to look at Russ's face going over the Huddersfield game. Wayne, have a great show, and thanks everybody for listening, and enjoy the international break.
Well, thank you, Ange. I knew there was going to be an insult in there somewhere, you know, Wayne. There always is, isn't there? Nobody believes we actually get on, you know, Wayne. They don't. They think we hate one another's guts. Anyway, I hate that idea of a game-by-game status, though. It's like a test captain. You remember how in the 80s we used to have test captains on a game-by-game basis for England and things like, you know, they used to, like, put them on probation. Yeah. We can't have that.
No. And the pressure will be under now as well, after that game yesterday. Yeah.
If we don't sack him this fortnight, we've got to come out and we've got to say he's staying for the foreseeable, haven't we?
Well, they've got to come out with something, haven't they?
Got to come out with something. Yeah. So the players understand that he's the man they've got to take notice of, from, you know, and they'd better do that.
Although, how their communication with the fan base at the moment with the club, they probably won't do nothing. No, they're just miles away.
Anyway, let me update you with the polls while we're here. The poll result against Fulham, we've got Stoke on 66%, draw 19%, Fulham on 15%. We're over 530 votes now on that one, and we're over 800 votes now on the stick or twist poll, as you heard Ange mentioning those very words, so I thought I'd use them in this poll on Nathan Jones. And you have to say, it's an absolutely overwhelming endorsement for Nathan Jones at the moment. 84% wanting to stay, 16% wanting to leave, and like I say, I'm not surprised by that, because last week, it can't get much more desperate than last week. And it probably did against Huddersfield, to be fair. But it was desperate stuff last week after we'd lost to Forest on the Friday night. And he's still virtually got 50% support of the fan base, from well over 1,000 people who... So there's definitely... I keep saying it on Twitter. We're all praying that this guy gets it right, picks the right teams, does the right tactics, and the players perform for him. Because I swear this guy will be one of the most popular managers we've ever had, if he can get it going. But obviously we can't go down. We can't. No. I mean, the current position we're in is an absolute disgrace. I mean, there's no way, shape or form of looking at it. This team, this squad, with on this wages, with these fees involved in this squad, should be right up there, right at the top of this table. And that game in itself yesterday proved that they should be right up there at the top of the table, not rooted to the bottom. And this is what, when teams are rooted to the bottom, Wayne, it's normally because their players are useless. You know, they're no good. We know these players. There is good players all over the place in that team. Internationals, most of them.
Yeah.
You know, we know that they're great players, and we're scratching our heads wondering what the hell is the reason. Now, they've gone out yesterday and they've played like that. For a manager, people say they don't respect, but they've gone out and performed like that for him. Badu Ndiaye comes over after the goal goes in on the 89th minute. Runs straight to the manager, lifts him up in the air, And, you know, and he doesn't go with the players, you know, in the corner where they all ended up having the, well, it's best described as an orgy. You know, and it, but Baddy runs over to the manager and lifts him up in the air in front of the directors. So, I mean, what does... And of course, people have said that that's what Nicky Moen did to Gary Megson in it before his last game, before he was fired all those years ago. But, you know, a player doesn't have to do that, does he?
No.
And he's speaking so highly of Baddy Wendai since he's come back. And people were rubbishing... There's another one people were rubbishing.
Yeah.
And well, saying that he should never play in a Stoke shirt again.
He's got him to play, hasn't he? That's more than Rowett could do.
Well, I think it's a combination. My own personal opinion is, and again, this is pure conjecture, and obviously it's now my job, as you know, Wayne, but my is that the agents were involved potentially in trying to get these players away before the end of August, and perhaps weren't wanting them to play and get injured before the end of August. Yeah. And since August has gone in September, they've been working perhaps hard behind the scenes to get back fit. And as soon as they match fit, he's brought them back. And their agents must be saying to Bruno and Badu and people like that, saying, look, if you do want to leave this club, you're going to have to play football.
Yeah.
And boy, are those two lads are playing as well as anybody at the moment, Badu. And I thought Badu, when he came in that first game, was superb.
Yeah.
Was it against Bristol? I think it was, wasn't it? Bristol City, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Like
I said, I know we're all riding on a high from yesterday, but we still got to win probably...
That's true.
10, 15 games.
It's absolutely... Well, like I say, Melanie's right on there. You know, it's one win, and we should... But it's done is put, in my opinion, is pile pressure on the players because we know what they're capable of doing. Yeah. Everybody knows that performance was there. But why can't we produce it on a... I mean, people could... I've said this on this programme before, Wayne, you probably heard me. People will forgive one awful performance in 10 games of football. They'll forgive a bad day. But they won't accept one good performance in 10 matches.
No, like I said, the next two or three games are massive.
Absolutely. And they're big games as well against clubs that are flying right up at the top of the table. You know, Fulham, Sheffield Wednesday and one or two others, I think. Yeah. So... You know, we are capable of beating all of them, don't get me wrong.
There's only been Leeds who've probably been better than us.
I think we did fold that afternoon, though, didn't we? I think first half we were matching them all the way through, weren't we? But second half, as soon as the first goal went in, we folded.
And they were probably going back over old ground that's been covered, but Shawcross getting injured was a blow. Powell getting injured was a blow. Because he was obviously wanted Powell to play that 10 role, and you can tell from the games he's played, he has got. He is an intelligent player, and he's played twice in this season. And, you know, he was kicked off the park against QPR. Then he come on, play against Forest, didn't he?
Yes.
You know,
I thought he played quite well against Forest, actually. Yeah, to be fair,
and probably just ran out of steam, didn't he?
Yeah. Anyway, as Bob Hardy says, it speaks volumes when Badu runs across the pitch and picks Jones up when we scored the winning goal. Carl Stubbs says, what formation did he change to after 10 minutes until the end, as it seems the best fit for the players? He changed the diamond, as you've just heard from Ange. Mick Fitzpatrick says, hey up, Wayne.
Hey up, Fitz.
I remember when you were a wire roadie. Now look, you're a radio star. Yeah. There you go.
You don't follow me on Twitter, though, do you?
Oh, brilliant. Ian from Scholar Green says, what a great performance. Stuart Faulkner says, the win has just papered over the cracks. Funnily enough, you've heard me use that expression earlier on. Ted says, Jones isn't perfect, but he's as passionate about Stoke as I am, which can't be a bad thing. Carl Stubbs says, I'll take it McLean was missing for some reason, but I hope he doesn't make the starting 11 next game. Well, hopefully, Carl, you've heard us talking about that, and that's answered your question. Sue Beardy says in response to Stuart Faulkner, yeah, but you must be encouraged by the performance. Well, we're all encouraged, but we want to see more of it. I think that's the best way of describing it. Lee Stokey says...
The Forest performance,
it was good.
The first still half an hour, but as soon as we scored, the confidence is that fragile, we just collapsed, didn't we?
Well, I think we weren't far off the better side all the way through that game, I think. Yeah. You know, certainly until Butland made that error.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was loving it. I was loving it when we were one up. But like I say, I mean, that result yesterday should give the fans confidence as well, that if they do go a goal behind, they can come back in a game of football, because... That was a right kick in the teeth, Wayne, after about 50 seconds yesterday. Yeah. 50 seconds?
Yeah.
It was. And that was from a... wasn't from bad play this time. It was from luck. You know, there was a bounce off a couple of players and put somebody through. It wasn't good football. It was just luck. And Federici makes a save and it just runs out to Ayew. All he's got to do is stroke it in within a minute. And, I mean, to be fair, if they'd have collapsed after that... I'm not saying you could have accepted it, but it wouldn't have surprised you.
You expected it.
It wouldn't have surprised you, because, I mean, you're at the top of the table, you can see the goal in the first minute. All the plans that you've talked about in the dressing room have gone up the kibosh.
The best we could hope for yesterday was 0-0. Don't concede early is the first thing you're going to say to the players. Don't concede early doors the first minute.
But the exact opposite happened yesterday, as has happened in the previous games when we've gone behind. They actually poured forward, attacked, had plenty of chances, got back on level terms within about a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes or so from the original goal. And instead of just sitting back on a 1-1, we kept pouring forward and trying to make chances. This is what I was saying. I don't know whether you listened to last week's programme, Wayne, but I was saying to him about the Tuesday night game at Huddersfield, look, Nathan, if you're going to get fired, just go out and play an attacking formation on Tuesday and try and score more goals than them. And he did exactly the opposite.
But does it help playing, like say somebody said earlier, playing the better sides? You know, they're going to be more expansive. They're going to leave the gaps, aren't they? And give you the opportunities, you know.
Well, there we are. Well, like I say, hopefully Fulham won't come for a point when we play them either.
I only saw the highlights on Quest last night. That's probably the only game I saw, and they look quite a decent game forward, but highlights, I'd say, never give you the true story. Of
well, like
game.
I say, let's hope that they don't sit back against us tonight. Let's have an open game, because I think we can win games like that. Anyway, Bob Hardy says, over the international break, it would be right for the club to issue a statement on how they feel. I think you agree with that, Wayne, one way or another anyway. Gary Pardy says we've got to stick with him. He must stay, I think. It would be ridiculous to sack him now. The team would be in uproar. Steve's laughing. That must be when I called him a tweet. A tweet. I called you a tweet, Steve. I called him a cheat. Gavin Bonehill says, given the next two games, if his team perform like that, keep him. If not, then I have no gripes about the sack. Stuart Fulton asks a good question, actually. If we sack James, how does it work with the FFP rules? Well, I think that if we pay out compensation, it probably counts, doesn't it?
No, I don't know.
But Angel answered that one. Warren Marriott says, hello, guys. Great win. Same team next time. No changes. Hopefully injury, touch wood. Everybody comes back from the international break fine. I love Nathan Jones. His passion is immense. I only think Leeds have been better than us this season. There you go. There's somebody totally agreeing with you there, Wayne. Jenica says, speak up, Wayne. We know he knows now. Don't worry. Don't worry. That's ages ago. Gary Eagle says, how about getting Ted in the studio, Russ? We're actually doing a show from Ted's house at some point or another before Christmas, I think.
In the bake-off,
aren't you? Yeah, apparently so. So Jules is cooking us a nice cake and everything. So we're all going there. So hope Ted's got good Wi-Fi. But I will be seeking commission on his knowledge of our club. Will you give a bit of discount for cash? Hello. Will Gary, give over. Scott Price says, it was Joe Allen's best performance. Peter Atiebo and Badu Ndiaye were once again brilliant in midfield. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, Ince is not even scoring goals now. Leave him out of the squad altogether. Steve Breeze says, neither Ince nor McLean should wear a Stoke shirt again. Ince isn't up for the cause and McLean just isn't very good. Stuart Fulton says, I could see Ince gone in January. Jack Butland and James McLean, says Stuart Fulton. Warren Marriott says, might see you at the Impact Arena for the under-23s Cup tie versus Forest on the 21st. You might well do. Steve Breeze says, I was calling for Allen to be dropped, but if he's back to his best ally yesterday, then he is well worth his place in the team. I don't think any of us can argue with that, and I just don't understand what's been happening with certain players, I must admit, because Joe Allen, when he plays for Wales, is about two gears higher up than when he plays for Stoke, and I'm not saying for a minute, I mean, I know he's playing with Gareth Bale and probably Aaron Ramsey and people like that, but the rest of Wales' players are not a million miles above our standard.
No.
So
you know, there's something, like I say, there's something that is holding these players back. But hopefully Joe Allen playing in that free sort of like role between the midfield and the forwards can work for him. Damien Robinson says, good afternoon from Toronto. It was said about Ince when he joined us that he was a great player when things were going his way and the team were doing well. How true that's turned out to be. He's just not up for the fight and the desire for the club is still not there. I think there were warning signs with quite a few players Stoke have signed. And I think with Ince, Wayne, it's the amount of clubs he's had in such a young career.
Well, the Rowett signings. Now, there's probably only Klukas now who's anybody can say he's any good, and nobody was saying he was any good when he first came. You know, this season he's not outstanding, but he's efficient and does a good job.
Well, we can add a Tebow to it probably, can't we? But I don't think he knew too much about that signing, did he? According to many people who are in the know. Anyway. Stevie Bree says, we made one mistake on 56 seconds, but after that, the fighting spirit returned. Stuart Faulkner says, Campbell is lazy.
Well, he looks that way, doesn't he? Yeah.
There you go. I told you he'd be controversial at some point or another. David Jury says, did you see Hart when the camera panned towards Jones? Hart had a face like a wet weekend at the final whistle. I didn't see that. No.
And sent me some video clip when they were warming up, the players warming up.
Oh, was he rolling the ball around again?
Yeah.
And says he doesn't know what he does, but I must admit, I don't know what he does either. And Carl says, I can't understand what that bloke is paid for, which is Paul Hart.
Yeah.
I think he's paid to just come into the press conferences when Nathan Jones isn't available. That's about it, really.
That was horrific, wasn't it?
Answer about four questions in a monotone voice and see you later. Paul Heath says, Jones's position is far from safe. The diamond must be ditched permanently. McLean and Ince got to be benched. Will Jones learn? If not, it's the chop. Stuart Faulkner says, I'd sack Paul Hart. I mean, there's Rory Delap there, isn't there?
What does Rory do? But I say we don't know what they do.
Johnny Walters, and there's all type of people who won't come in and give the club a hand.
Walters is doing his badges now, isn't he? He wants to get back in football. I heard him talking the other day saying he wants to get back into football.
I know Angie's a big, well, she's good friends with Johnny Walters
with Hart, you know, he played in a decent side when he was at Forest as centre half. You know, surely. You must know something about defending.
Well, that's what you'd think, wouldn't you? But it's not obvious, is it? until yesterday. Until yesterday. George Harding says, Hogan and Gregory played together at Halifax. You know, I didn't know that. No. And it worked, so it's a perfect fix. Well, there you are. I've learnt something there tonight. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, I'm not convinced with Hogan, to be honest, but if he keeps putting them in, then great. He's certainly a goal scorer. Ted says, Hogan scored yesterday after the keeper made a good save from a very good Vokes header. That's true. George,
you don't have to be a good player as long as you're in the right place. Absolutely. Even Lineker admitted to that, not being a good player.
Have you seen the goal?
Yes.
The interesting thing I think about that is there was no one around Hogan.
No.
Hogan, as it is with goal scorers and instinct and things like that, he moved into a position where he thought the ball might end up.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a player within 6 or 7 yards of him in the penalty box.
And all the defensive ball watching him.
They'd all congregated into where that ball was going. And he dropped off and with that instinct, you know, of picking up the scraps. Yeah. And
it's still a tight angle to score.
Yeah, and you can't coach that, no. I don't think. You can't coach that. That's instinct. And that's what that's why I can't... One of the million questions for Nathan Jones still, in my opinion, is why did you just split that partnership up after one half of football?
Yeah.
You know, if he's got his reasons for that,
with the squad we've got, we should never be playing one up front.
Correct.
We're too good to play.
Especially
one up front.
On Tuesday, that was showing Huddersfield far too much respect, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we had to go win that game, really.
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't have expected to win yesterday.
No,
With the results have probably, we've probably got the points we probably expected out of this week, but in the completely opposite way around.
It'd have been better as beating Huddersfield, wouldn't it, really?
Well, but I think Huddersfield and Stoke will eventually
get enough points to get out of it, you'd think, wouldn't you? Well, we'd better do, hadn't we? George Harding says, 2016 was the last time Stoke scored a last-minute winner. Near enough. You're right, George. I hope you agree with me on the 15th of May 2016. Anyway, Michael Pearsall says, Campbell has been listening to his dad too much and not putting in enough graft. Anthony Bradshaw reckons it was Shawcross late winner. Well, I beg to differ, Brad. But, you give me the evidence if you think I'm wrong. And funnily enough, Ant says, hopefully yesterday we had our Ferguson moment. People are seriously saying that.
Well, somebody's just commented on the oatcake, the optimist. Jones equals Ferguson. And four question marks. Ferguson had a European trophy on his CV at the time you mentioned. Obviously, that was with Aberdeen. Already a proven manager at the top level.
But it's a fact what I've said about the fact that he was one header, unusual type goal, but he was one header away from losing his job at Man United. Yeah. And look what he went on to achieve with Man United. Quite extraordinary.
But he did do well at Aberdeen.
Yes, he had a great side at Aberdeen, didn't he? Did they win the UEFA, was it UEFA Cup? Cup winners cup they won, I think, didn't they? Aberdeen against Real Madrid, didn't they? Fantastic side he had there. With Alex McLeish and all sorts of people playing for him, I think. Yeah, no, I'm not disputing he was a good manager. He wouldn't have got the Man United job, would he, if he wasn't actually a decent manager to be appointed in the first place. But Man United, don't forget, when Ferguson turned up, are in the same sort of state as they are at the moment. Yeah. They weren't winning anything particularly much, apart from the odd FA Cup under Ron and Ron Atkinson and people like that. Ferguson turned that club into like an absolute giant of a trophy gobbling machine, basically. So, I'm not suggesting, I knew this was going to happen, Wayne, when I said it, but that was the point why I said it. I was not comparing him to Ferguson, but there's something happens sometimes. We've been having so much bad luck and so many hits of the woodwork. Everything that we could go wrong has been going wrong. People getting sent off with stupid challenges and all sorts of things, letting him down. At some point, you'd like to think, if he is working as hard as he keeps telling us he's working, and in the behind the scenes, that somebody who is working that hard and putting as much effort in will eventually get some reward, you'd like to think. Anyway, go on, Wayne, you carry on.
The amount of bad luck of that.
Oh, crimes. Yeah. But you can't keep saying that, can you?
No.
But it's true in a lot of cases. What else have we got? Under the optimist.
19 not beaten, 72.
Right.
Well done to the lads yesterday, and well done to Nathan Jones for finally getting his team selection right. But it's just one game, and his record is still poor over the time he has been a hero manager. The board now a very difficult decision to make. Do they keep looking to replace him, or do they keep him? Hope that things carry on improving. We have been here before with Hughes, who was widely reported was due for the sack prior to playing Watford away. Well, we all know how that turned out. Let's hope we get it right this time.
A few people have said that, haven't they?
Yeah.
Here we are. Here's some eye there from Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Bonaparte.
Yeah. Hi there from Bulgaria. Good win. We need to leave McLean and Ince and Butterfingers Butland out. Really silly idea to put them back in. He must have cost us best part of 9 points on his own. I don't care if he gets his head sorted, he can go. Let's in goal somewhere else. And as far as Campbell is concerned, his dad obviously thinks he is better than Stoke. Let him go get a new contract somewhere else. Macclesfield need a new striker. Changing managers again is just pointless. Keeping Jones, and let's see what happens. If we go down, as the doommongers say, at least we all the big-time Charlies that may still be here and have been causing a lot of trouble behind the scenes will go to better contracts elsewhere and we can start again. I'm missing going to Gillingham, Grimsby and Colchester many years ago. Laugh out loud.
Keep the faith. That's true. Well, when I went to Wickham on Monday, I mean, it was a nice setup at Wickham, but we don't want to be going there anytime soon. Likely lad Galismo.
Yeah. Give Jones till next international break. With the next five fixtures should tell us the direction we will be taking. Huddersfield are flying up the table now as well.
I can go with that. I mean, that's November, isn't it? November, mid-November, yeah. Something like that. I think the next international break after this one. It can't be on a game-by-game basis. You've got to give him another run of fixtures now anyway. Stuart Faulkner says, Russ, what would your back four be? My goodness. Well, it'd definitely be Bruno Martins-Indy on the left side. If fit at the moment, you know, obviously Shawcross is unavailable. I'd probably leave Lindsay out at the moment. I'd have Barton, Carter, Vickers. The right back issue is the one that is up in the air, really. I thought Carter Vickers actually did quite well at right back, didn't you?
He played very well.
The worrying thing is he played as well as either Smith or Edwards have done.
What's happened with Smith though?
I don't understand. Yet another one.
Yeah, that was a bizarre sign.
Woods, you could go on and on. Yeah. You know, why these lads are not performing. Matt Keegan says, evening Russ and Wayne, let's just enjoy the win and what will be will be. Ant Bradshaw says, okay, which team has impressed you the most? And are any of the teams we have played head and shoulders better than us? Well, I think we've answered that one, haven't we? The Leeds were the ones who took us to the cleaners, really, didn't they?
Yeah, they played off the park.
The rest of them. Yeah, and Lee says Leeds. Mick Jepson says, nobody we have played at home. It just shows how bad we have been. That's in relation to we'd say Leeds, probably, Mick. Tom Chadwick says, not Stoke related, but how do we know when you're live on Facebook? Well, if you like the page, you should get a notification, Tom. So if you like the Not FM page, it should come give you a notice when. But we normally go live for a show at about 6:29 on a Sunday on Facebook. Mark Keegan says, personally, I think Hart should go and we get in a decent assistant like Liam Lawrence. Well, Liam's doing a lot of media work at the moment, isn't he, Wayne, on Radio Stoke and stuff, and he's definitely sounds so passionate about the club. But it's easy doing this programme, and it's not as easy probably when you get into the nitty-gritty and you actually find out what's happening on a day-to-day basis behind the scenes. So,
people don't realise, like I say, it's easy to criticise when you're standing on the touchline, won't you? But if you don't know what's going on behind the scenes at any level, you know, even at junior, amateur level, you know, it's a lot bigger job than people.
I mean, our players, but there's bound to be some players in our squad at the moment who've got issues, personal issues, anything, you know, splitting up from the partner or whatever. Yeah. I think Ryan Woods' form dipped as soon as his wife had a baby and that, and you know, things are happening at home, you know, he's not getting enough sleep and all sorts of things that can affect your performance.
And there's egos, and you can't talk to players out, you know, when Pedge, when he's on the radio now, in his day, you know, you could tear strips off people. You can't do that now. You can't do it.
Stuart Faulkner says Wayne, his coaches may not have the gumption to stand up to James.
You shouldn't surround yourself with yes people, because that's the wrong thing.
I mean, if you think I talk rubbish, you tell me, don't you?
Yeah. I'm off anyway now.
George Harding says, Stephen Ward has looked good at left back. I don't know what game that was, George, because I can't remember which game he did look good at left back.
I've only seen him at Charlton away this season.
Did he do all right there?
He wasn't great in that.
Okay. Well, I'll say this. I'll say he played at the under-23s at Leek against Villa. We won 2-0, but I didn't even know he was on the pitch. So there you are. Gary Eagles says, Gary Pardy says, I don't think Nathan wants Liam anywhere near him, to be honest. George Harding says, how is Lawrence decent? He's got no experience and needs to start off in the academy first. I mean, obviously, he's not going to go straight in there. Paul Higgs says, I think Lucas has three also. Mark Keegan says, passionate, knows the area, knows the fans, what it's all about. Hart just sits there. Jones needs a decent number two. Anthony Bradshaw says Thursday's press conference was always scheduled to take place. Well, that's obvious. It's a normal Thursday, isn't it? Dan Eyre says, you said what's changed. I think it's confidence. Throughout the season, we've played quite well. The stats don't lie. But as soon as we conceded, our heads immediately dropped, especially from our frequent mistakes. This time, the mistake by Federici parrying the ball towards their striker was so early in the game that it was not necessarily the end of it. We were so laboured in the first 20 minutes, shell-shocked by the goal, but we stuck to it where we normally collapse. As our confidence grew again, we got better and better, and the win was well deserved. The fans, by the way, were amazing, local and proud, and a credit to Stoke City. Jason Campbell says, Tebow and Ndai are professional, Ange. What are the other players? That's in relation to Ange's comments. Well, you know, Ange is very, very...
That's something else that amazes me about players. Now, even if they don't like the manager, you go out and you play for your own pride. You know, you can't just go out there and just turn up and go through the motions. You know, it's disgraceful.
Okay. Neil Price says, if we're going to sack him, we'd better have a good replacement lined up. It appears we haven't as yet. This international break is probably our best chance to replace him. We can't find the ideal candidate, then stick with Nathan. Jace Campbell says, no, Russ, we shouldn't be right up there at all. Based on results, you deserve to be exactly where you are, and that is a fact. Well, I don't think we're as bad as we are in the table. I think we booked that trend.
Well, the win yesterday has probably given the board a bit of breathing time as well now, hasn't it? Because
yep.
If it lost yesterday, there would have been massive pressure for get a new manager in. Now they've got a bit of time to see who's about, interview people, and make a probably more rational decision rather than just a headless chicken one.
Stuart Fulton says, Rust, I think the next game will tell us. Chris Rossi says it's not sacking him that's the problem, it's who we get in. Apart from Chris Hughton, there's nobody realistically you could trust to turn it around. We could be playing three managers and still playing the same. The trouble with Jones is he's learning on the job. Hopefully the learning period is over. Mike Edge says Paul Hart got off his seat on Saturday, that's why we won. A decent assistant manager to Jones is required, says Neil Price. Carl says, I was proud of the lads on that pitch yesterday, and I am shocked at how dirty they were because they couldn't contain us. Scott Price says, we need to put Scott Hogan and Lee Gregory up front with Alan Atiba and Dye in midfield for the Fulham game. Two up front yesterday looked better against Swansea. George Harding said Fergie had a good record at Aberdeen, but Jones had a good record at Luton, so both are in line with each other. Jones from the bottom of the Championship to the Champions League final in three seasons, if only. Ted says Preston was so much better than us and Leeds in the second half. Jackie Sadula says, listening to you but half watching the Athletics on mute, shame on you. But so long since the weekend has felt so good. Laura Malkin says, she's having a go at one of our listeners. Oh, dear. Dan Eyre says, looks like the kids are out tonight trying to spoil a family show. Oh, dear. Well, there we are. Have you got anything else on the oatcake?
We're all up to date.
Right, well, let's hear from Nathan Jones then, after Swansea, because he was talking to Ange.
Given that after the game on Tuesday I said to you it was probably the worst Stoke performance I'd seen for a long time, and you disagreed, will you agree with me now that this is the best Stoke performance since you've been here?
By a mile. It was complete today, I think. Playing the way I want to play, with an energy and a press and a work rate that really, really did do superbly well. They showed their desire to keep, and it should have been a clean sheet, but things conspired. They showed a desire to defend their box, they showed a desire to play good attractive football, play through midfield. We created so many clear cut chances, and I mean we really did. We were danger from set plays, we defended set plays well, we were a danger on the counter attack. It was a complete performance today, it really was. I would like to have won by more, but some days you remember these, and just the winning 2-1 and the manner and the lateness, it's been coming. That
it's been coming for a while, Nathan, but It's taken a while, and now maybe the pressure's off a little bit. I know that you thrive on pressure, and I know that you've got a 2-week break. How much do you wish you'd got a game next week?
Yeah, it would be, because a little bit of momentum, you know. Maybe if we'd done this last week and things on the Friday, maybe we'd done that and we could have had three in a week. But this team rise when it's tough and the odds are against them. but it's just when we are expected to win games, when that they can't relax and can't expect just to roll teams over. They have to build on this now. But there was a commitment, there was a quality, there was a structure, there was a desire to win a game, and I'm proud of that team today.
I'm sure you're very proud of the board for sticking with you so far. But finally from me, a word for the fans who've come over 3 hours again today. You seem to share a great deal of elation with at the end of the match. They were fantastic, weren't they?
Look, it's been a long time coming, and they're fans here are superb. I knew that before I came. Look, let's say everything about the board. The board have been fantastic with me. They've given me patience more than I deserved, or more than results have deserved. Maybe I deserve it because of the work and the hours and what we've done, and people who work for the club will see what we've done under it. Not radio presenters, not people that just see a Saturday and stuff, but that's what everyone sees, and that's why they comment like they do. But the fans have been behind us. The fans have. They haven't turned on me, and I've been humbled by their commitment to me, their desire for me to do well. And look, I promise them I work hard. I promise them I tried to put a team out. And if this team just opens its mind and continues to work hard and then stops making errors, we'd be a fantastic side.
Well, marginal gains have worked for you. Congratulations.
Well, that was Ange talking to Nathan. We've got Sam Klukas coming up as well later. Just moving on to emails, we've got a couple here. One from Dave Palin in Australia. And he says, thoughts, was nice finally to see a win in a week when I thought we would be managerless before the Swansea game. The performances against Nottingham Forest and Huddersfield didn't deserve losses. And after a minute yesterday, I really thought James was the unluckiest guy in football. But we settled and we grew into the game and looked so united by the end. I really do hope everyone involved is heading in the right direction. Hogan scoring the winner only backs up my thoughts that he should be starting, and we should have gone 2 up top v Huddersfield. That was criminal, really. Whatever the reason was why the Coates family didn't get rid of him after the Huddersfield game, hopefully we see more of this in the coming games. I don't think sacking the manager every 5 minutes is the thing to do. I'm seeing enough to say we can get some positive results, but we're far from the finished product. It's only one win and we're still bottom and we need more, and I'm hopeful that we'll get that versus Fulham. Two up front and the diamond look good with the quality we had in the middle, and definitely keep Bruno Martins-Indy at left back. It's a good day to be a Stoke supporter, but we need more of these. And whatever people want to say about our fans and the football club, we always get behind them if they give us everything. And after the whistle, the players and Jones got what they deserved. Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, I've been saying that for months and months and months. Our fans know when the players are giving 100% for this football club. And if they do give 100%, they'll let them off for virtually anything. Suniki J from Japan says, hi, Ange and Russ. Still getting over the shock of our win. At last, a performance we can be proud of, apart from the first minute, of course. Excellent defending, positive running, and best of all, we look like a team. Positive changes, leaving out Ince and McLean, and happy with the subs as well. This should now be Nathan Jones's first team. Two up front is a must. Bruno Martins-Indy at left back. Our season starts now. Don't know what will happen over the international break, but surely Nathan Jones will still be in charge. Who'd be a football club owner, hey? Great to catch up with you, Ange, recently. Love talking Stoke, no matter the situation. Enjoy the break, Jason. Well, I'm sorry I missed you, Jace, but I'm sure when you next come over from Japan, I'll see you. We've got to keep you updated with some other things in relation to the football club. Probably you know by now that all the women's games today were called off due to inclement weather and pitches, and which was such a shame because I know so many people were going to go and watch the first team in particular against Sunderland this afternoon, which was an absolutely massive game. And they were probably looking at another record crowd at Norton today. But never mind, that game will be played sometime in the future, perhaps not before Christmas, though. I think the ladies are back playing next week. They're away in the Staffordshire Cup, I think it is, or the League Cup at Birmingham and West Midlands, Wayne. Do you know where they play? Birmingham West Midlands.
They're a couple of leagues below, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's in the League Cup, I think that is. Yeah. And that's next week.
Would have been a great game today as well.
Oh, magnificent game.
I think how it's shaping up now, it looks like it's probably Sunderland or Stoke who'll probably good chance of winning it. But now Blackburn are out of the league. You know, they won it for the last 3 years. But you've got to give Chloe credit for what she's done.
Well, you've got to like Chloe's done brilliantly bringing in, and it's unfortunately led to one or two long time Stoke City players leaving and going to other places, which is never easy.
Yeah. Well, she come in, like say when they sacked Tim last season, when they, I think they lost about 7 or 8 on the trot, she come in as caretaker, and then the season ended, and then there was no announcement, and she got the announcement for the job. She's probably late, you know, probably late on regards footballing teams in the summer.
Well, hopefully Chloe was talking to players before she actually got
well,
there.
She's brought some good players in, hasn't she? And yeah. Like I say, you're always going to have one or two are going to feel like pushed out and have left foot. Now, so
absolutely. Well, they've got a lot of forward players. And not everybody, as probably happened with Valinden. You're not going to be able to guarantee people game time.
Well, that's football, isn't it? Yeah, at that level.
But they've been lucky because Amy Hughes was injured quite badly at Loughborough on, damaged her ankle ligaments. But they've got 4 or 5 strikers to play at the moment, and they've got people. One of the players had a broken wrist as well, and she's there available if necessary. But they brought in all these Aston Villa players that obviously Chloe knows from her time they've done great for them. Yeah. But so they're away in the cup next week at Birmingham and West Midlands. The under-23 team, as we've mentioned earlier on, I went down to Wickham to watch them on Monday night. They won 4-0 against Reading at Wickham. Jake Dunwoody got the first goal. I think Julian Ngoi got the second one. Kian Matang got the third. And Jarvis scored a penalty for Stoke as well. Beautifully taken, actually, when we had all the problems with penalty taking. And that was a 4th win on the trot for them. But they played yesterday at Southampton. They came away with a 1-1 draw there as well. And Jake Dunwoody scored again. So Jake's adding goals to his game as well as being a combative midfielder. So maybe there's one to watch out for there. He's had a loan period last year as well, toughened himself up. And there's a lot of good players in that under-23 team coming through. Credit to whoever's looking after it at the moment. I think it's Kevin Russell, isn't it? But the under-18s as well, they're doing really well at the moment. They had a good result yesterday away at Middlesbrough as well. Reuben McIntosh got the goal. They drew 1-1 at Middlesbrough, but they've been doing really well of late. So that's you up to date with all the other teams, the women, the under-23s and the under-18s. Now, just catching up on the Facebook. Ted says, I think we'll beat Fulham at home and draw with Sheffield Wednesday and win at Millwall. And also says, let me know the dates you have in mind for the show. Jules will do some bulk baking for the evening. What are you trying to suggest, Ted? Dan Ayer says, you could see the passion in Nathan Jones's words. So much pressure and so glad we got a win. It's almost like an old-style kettle with steam coming out. Hopefully now he's learned from the last few weeks as a much bigger club than Luton, no offence. It's really interesting to hear his angry comments about the work behind the scenes. It really must have been in a poor state. That highlights the difficulties we had, like the Titanic trying to steer away from the iceberg. But hopefully we've missed it this time. George Harding says, my honest thoughts yesterday was after going 1-0 down, Jones thought, to hell with it, I'll take a gamble. And he thought that going into the final 90. In the end, it paid off. And he can smugly put his middle finger up at the likes of Danny Murphy, Ian Holloway, and even Liam Lawrence. Well, you know, all I'll say is, it's even our job on this programme is actually to speak a mind and say what we think. Now, I think we've been very fair with Nathan Jones on this programme. But he's been getting a lot of stick from a lot of people. And one thing it does appear to me that Nathan Jones does do is he's working incredibly hard, and it was torturing him that we weren't getting the results that he thought his hard work deserved. And I'm just disappointed that he was getting the stick he was getting. But when you look at the stats, you can't argue with him. And if Danny Murphy's giving him stick, and if other people are giving him stick, that goes with the territory of being a football manager, doesn't it? And to be fair, they're only saying what a lot of people were saying is on a neutral basis. Is looking down our list of players, how on earth are Stoke City at the bottom of the Championship? I'm sure that's what basically it comes down to.
And Sunderland were saying the same.
don't you think we got better players than Sunderland they went down to the League One?
Yeah, we're nowhere near as big a mess they were.
And we have got owners with money, but for, like I say, we've got owners whose hands are going to be tied with FFP.
The the interview just with Nathan, the first time I've heard that, and the comparison from the Tuesday night to that, because Tuesday night it was, I'm gone, and now that sounded like he's staying.
Well, we don't know. One thing we don't know, mate, is do we? That we don't know what's been said in reality. I'm pretty sure that he can't be that naive to think that Stoke haven't been talking to other people during the course of this week. I mean, he can't be that naive, and he may even have known.
People talk in the game.
Agents yeah. will, I'm presuming he's got an agent, so his agent will be have his ear to the ground and think. But even he himself thought he was going to get fired. Sure.
Yeah.
So they've got, if he's going to get fired, they've got to be talking to somebody. Yeah. But like I say, let's say we're all hoping at home this is like a Lazarus moment, and it's all gonna be plain sailing from here. But if he gets performances out of these players. They are going to go up the table.
We've got to go on a run, though. We've got to go.
We have. You're right. Ted says Scobra have an event on the 11th of October at the Bet365 with Georgie Berry. What a stalwart he was. What a great fella he was.
Bring him on just for penalties.
He was a great. great fella he was actually.
Yeah.
And George. George. I'll say this on air. I think George did more for race relations in this city than any player we've ever had. George was loved by the supporters, and this was at a time when still, it wasn't that far after the monkey chanting era, was it, Wayne? And that guy was absolutely adored by Stoke supporters, Georgie Berry, no question about it. He was a wonderful player and conducted himself absolutely brilliantly and loved the community so much. He stayed in the community, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, great man, George Berry. Tickets available through John Ruggiero via the Scoba Facebook page. So if you want to go to that, fantastic. Neil Price says, keep Bruno at left back until January. Signing a proper left back has to be top priority. That's all we need. And Scott Price says, was going to go up the ladies game today at Norton and ended up going to the cinema to watch the Joker movie. Well, I'll tell you what, Scott. I hope it was as good as the ladies' game was going to be, because I'm sure that was a cracker. I'm sure that would have been a cracker this afternoon. But you never know. It might still be a top-of-the-table clash by the next time they eventually play one another anyway. George Harding says, Danny Murphy has always hated Stoke. Thing is, Tony Pulis will never come back, as Peter isn't going to get rid of Tony Scholes, as he's now been given a director role anyway. Why have the Coates family done that, by the way? Put Tony Scholes on the board.
I don't know.
Not something the Fans Council have ever investigated, I don't think.
No, there's certain things we can't ask.
I'm going to ask you about the Fans Council in a minute anyway, and what you think about it. But the polls are still going on. The result versus Fulham. Stoke still 66%, draw at 19%, Fulham at 15%. And we've got the Nathan Jones stick or twist poll. Stay 84%, leave 16%. So that's certainly a ringing endorsement for Nathan Jones. Sarah Bailey says communication from Stoke is appalling. Stoke have had plenty of time to come out this week and make a statement. I feel like Nathan Jones was thrown under the bus having to do his own press conference on Thursday. When he thought he'd been sacked before then, I thought that was. I mean, how it's turned out, Wayne, obviously, with him winning on Saturday, but I couldn't believe, and I made it clear on Twitter, I couldn't believe that he'd been put through that on Thursday.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah.
But has it been the right thing to do in the end? We'll find out soon enough, won't we? In a couple of weeks. Right, here you go. Here's one leading into the Fans Council, because I know you've been discussing this, haven't you?
Yeah.
What's your opinion on the booking fees for tickets, especially when there's no other way of buying them? It's just another nail in the coffin to do the fans over, especially the amount of crap we've been put through.
Yeah.
So George says, now you've had some. Was the last meeting they discussed this?
It was brought up. I can't say some things because they haven't come out. But I know it has been looked into, and it was. A big bone of contention for me, because I just think it's scandalous. Yeah, scandalous. How can you charge people for collecting tickets when you go to the ground? I'm there. So I think that's going to be taken away, and I think collection's going to be free. But it's just a stealth tax, you know. It's, you know.
Who thought that could possibly be a good idea in the first place, though, Wayne?
That's just the disconnect between the fans and the club.
You know, we're not selling out every week, are we? No, so you'd think you want to encourage people to buy tickets, wouldn't you?
They're bringing a new system, ticketing system in.
Yeah.
So obviously, this is going to pay for that. But why should it? No. Why should it pay for? If you're buying tickets through a third party, I could understand it. I could understand paying a booking fee. But we're not. We're buying them through the club. So surely them costs should be built into your ticket. You know, it's.
It's quite incredible, isn't it, really? Yeah, yeah. The not just that, but the fact that, you know, contactless is only just coming to certain parts of the ground. Is he in the old ground now, or is he just in certain parts of it?
I think it's in the old ground. It's just incredible. We've been on the bandwagon for at least two seasons. Yeah, and every time we just got knocked back. You know, and now they're admitting that they're making money out of it. You know, how much money have they lost then over the last two or three seasons?
It's just a standard business practice, isn't it, to have that? Yeah. And most of the purchases will be under the contactless amount, won't they? So they're speeding up the transactions, speeding up the queues.
Yeah, you go to cricket, like the Ashes this time, like any of the bars there, you don't take cash. It's all contactless.
Yeah.
You don't want your cash.
Yeah. Whereas at Cassie Hyde's do at Leek on, it was cash only. Boy, was that a night. I must say this as well. Happy birthday to Cass for Friday, an absolute legend, and she wasn't let down by anybody. Everybody turned up who was anybody to do with the Stoke Ladies organisation and friends and family. It was a fantastic night, and what a legend she's been. I think she's been there. I've lost track of the amount of years she's been there, but from a child almost. So. Cass, what service she's given, and she's only 30 now, so she's got plenty more football left in her. And could this be one of the best seasons she's ever been involved with, Dan Steg? It could well be.
It'll put the club in an interesting situation if they do win it.
Yeah, absolutely. And put the finance in, especially if the finance of the rest of the club drops as well, with everything else. But I think they've shown this season, Wayne, haven't they? They've had record crowd at Norton. They've had a record crowd at the Bet365 for that game against Hull City, nearly 1,000. There's a lot of interest now in the women's
football.
People
who never watched it and go for the first time are really surprised by. The standard,
absolutely. Okay, right, let's have a look here. The board didn't have to say anything because they were sticking with Nathan, says Aunt Bradshaw. Gary Pardy says keep the faith. Sarah Bailey says Anthony Bradshaw, yes, my point is they should have communicated that to us, and then perhaps Nathan wouldn't have been subjected to as much criticism afterwards. We can all see how much it's hurt him. That's just my opinion. I'll tell you what, it's aged him as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I said on last week's programme that we all know what the job of being Prime Minister does to Prime Ministers in this country. They start the job, and then when they leave the job, they look at least double the age of the amount of years they've served.
I passed him on the way to work last week. The Thursday before we played Forest, the Thursday morning. I nearly didn't recognise him in slow traffic. He was going past me.
And he was looking.
That was about 10 to 8 in the morning. So obviously, he gets in work
early. Oh, he gets in work early. Yeah. Fantastic. Anyway, Neil Price says, just got to sit back and see what happens over the next 2 week international break. The board do need to address the situation. Just say James is our man and we're sticking with him, and then we can get on supporting him. I think if there's no change, I think it's not good enough just to leave it and just say there's no change. It's got to be a board have got to come out and say, you know, we're gonna stick with him, and the fans know that it's not on a game by game basis, because. That's just unbelievable. It's too hard on him. It's too hard on the players. The players have got to know that at least he's got another. I think the idea that gentleman came up with on the next international break is perhaps ideal. I mean, if we pull ourselves out of this situation, and we look like we're pulling ourselves out of this situation by that, nobody will have any complaint, I don't think, and him keeping his job anyway.
He's got to be set a target of points, hasn't he, for the next five games. Yeah.
Well, do you know what? Funnily enough, I think he was set a target for those two games. Yeah. You know, those two games on Friday and Tuesday, and I think that's why he was so down at the end of the end of the game on Tuesday, because he knew he hadn't got anywhere near what they wanted out of them two games. They probably said 4 points out of them games. Otherwise, you're on the way, and I think most people thought that.
Yeah, well, he was a dead man walking after the game, wasn't he?
Yeah, but like I say, whether it's by design or whether it's by accident, it might end up being the best decision they've made, or, you know, it could be putting off the inevitable. I think everybody is completely undecided here, even on Facebook tonight, about whether it's one or the other.
Well, it's not an easy fix, as it is.
No, it's not easy, no. But like I say, I personally think that the manager was given a target of points over them even before those two games, and I think if he didn't win either one of those games against Forest or Huddersfield, he probably knew that his time was probably up himself.
Yeah, the Brentford game, I was hoping we'd get a team something after the Brentford, you know, with the way we got beat by Bristol, you know.
Okay. Ant Bradshaw says, I see the gaffer every day. We know you do, Ant. And he's made of strong stuff and is so proud. And Duncan James is agreeing with me, but I don't know what about. And George Harding says, Anthony Bradshaw, ooh, he's got a friend. Yeah, he has. He knows Nathan very well. And I've missed him actually stopping my car on the way into the car park at Stoke and asking me what the score was going to be. Because... do you know, against the Leeds game, I asked Ant Bradshaw what the score was going to be, you know, and he said 3-0 to Leeds. And I didn't have it. Normally, when Ant Bradshaw says a score that specific, I'll have a charity bet of a pound on that. And of course, it was 3-0, wasn't it? And I don't think Ant had any money on it either.
Well, we are a charity case.
But I do know some Stoke fans yesterday felt the odds for Swansea yesterday were far too tempting not to have a big flutter on. And obviously all of us have lost money on that sort of situation. All of them have lost money and they're delighted to have done so because, you know, we've got the right result. Anyway, before you go on to the last few on the oatcake, let's hear from Sam Clucas, because he caught up with Ange after the game yesterday as well.
Sam, just a quick one. You mentioned the fans coming today in great numbers, which they have all the season. You got a message for them now? Are they going to stick with us? I mean, you've got a 2-week break now, but what would you like to say for the fans? Because that was a long way to come today.
I think they have been sticking with us. I think they've been brilliant home and away. And you see how many numbers there were today. It's a tough place to come. It's a long journey. It's not an easy place to get to. But they were in the numbers today and singing. And people underestimate how much the fans make a difference, because when you're out there and you're under the cosh a bit and you can hear them singing, it does actually give you an extra 1 or 2%. And sometimes that 1 2% can see you over the line. So, like I say, stick with us. It's coming, like I say, it's been a frustrating few weeks, not only for the fans. We understand it's frustrating for them, because they've got to travel a long distances, pay a lot of money to come watch us, and we're nowhere near where we need to be in the league, so it's been frustrating. But like I say, please stick with us, because it's coming, and hopefully today can be the catalyst to start driving forward.
And if they stick with you, they'll see a bit more banter every time you score a goal?
Hopefully I can score every week and see a bit more banter, but no, it's brilliant, and like I say, hopefully, it's just unfortunate we've got to wait 2 weeks now for the next game, because we want it as soon as possible, and the fans probably want that as well. But it's nice to finish international break with 3 points, and like I say, it's time to start kicking on.
And lastly for me, you looked like you were struggling a bit towards the end. What happened?
Yeah, I got one in the crown jewels early on, which took the wind out of me, and then I got one in the ankle, which blocking a shot, and it just opened my ankle up a little bit, so just a bit sore. But once you get them 3 points, the pain seems to dim down a little bit, and it's just nice, like I say, it's nice to get on that bus now. Long journey home, but the 3 points will make it certainly go a lot quicker.
Well, I hope you recover in every way. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that was Ange talking to Sam Clucas, who sounded really positive.
I haven't seen it, but apparently he was quite pleased after he scored the goal.
It's fair to say he went baiting the Swansea fans, because presumably he was getting booed. No. So, he did run up to them and asked them to appreciate how wonderful his goal was. But they didn't. Obviously, didn't see. He didn't seem to get too many too many people agreeing with him. Ted says, let's make some noise against Fulham and be the 12th man. So just moving on while we're here now, and I've got a bit of time. Let's talk about Super Six, because
This week has been a fantastic week for scoring, and I've got to say that we've had the biggest score, I think, in a weekly round for someone who's on our game that we've ever had. Martin Eagles, would you believe, Wayne, this weekend scored 24 points.
Wow.
Out of 30.
Yeah,
that so that's that's every result correct. So I hope you had a six. I hope you had a sixfold. Got every result correct, but on four correct scores and two actual correct teams winning the game. So for 24 points is, I'm sure, the best we've had in the entirety I've been doing this show. And then there were some other fantastic scores. Bill James on 17, Craig Harold on 17. Paul Sanderson on 16, Pete Roberts on 16, Malcolm Cartwright on 16, and then we go down to 13s with Mark Gidman and Glenn Rospandowski. Overall, Paul Frost is in the lead on 121. Just behind him is Paul Stokes on 119, and then there's a bit of a gap to Darren Evans, Peter Roberts. Our Mark Green's in sixth place. He's doing really well this year, Mark, on 105. Ange is in 14th place on 97. I've got to mention this. Steve the Cheap Breeze is in 17th place behind Ange, which you'd be absolutely delighted about, on 96 points. I'm in 34th on 82. I missed a round, you know.
Yeah.
I missed a round. Didn't put my scores in. And I've had to put you on here, Wayne. Wayne Harrison.
Well, there's a reason.
Come on, Wayne. Before I read this out, you give everybody a reason. Come on.
I set it up at the start of the season, did the first week, and then I could not get back in. So my password was wrong. So I just give up.
So you've given up. So Wayne will not be moving from 10 points during the course of this season. He's still in 77th place, though, Wayne. You're not right at the bottom. No. But that's gonna get worse as the season goes on.
There's a few below yet,
but fantastic. Honestly,
I haven't been sacked yet, have I?
Martin Eagles, absolutely fantastic, 24 points. And I really do hope that you did have a flutter on that, because it doesn't happen very often that you get all six results correct.
I'd be happy to get one right.
You know, to get and get four perfect scores as well. My goodness, you could have had a right... he could have been retiring, I think, if he'd had a few bob on that. Anyway, Martin, you see, you know, Martin, 24 points for me this week. You don't have to put it on Facebook. I've just read it out. Everybody knows. Gary Pardy says, if you look at the stats in the first game of the season, it shows we've had bad luck. So maybe we will now get the rub of the green. I think yesterday, to be fair, we didn't have the rub of the green. We were just deserved to win the game. And if Ange says, and you know Ange, if Ange is fair, if Ange says, by all, you know, in her opinion, it was a great performance and Stokes should have won by more, then you can trust me, and Wayne will know the same. If Ange's saying something like that, it happened.
She'll say it how it is.
Exactly. Neil Price says, got to admit, I'm thinking the Mark Hughes situation. He won at Watford and then he stayed on. Look what happened there. Hope it's not the case with Nathan. Another loss and we could be back to square one. I hope, God willing, as is the phrase he loves to use, this is the start of us going up the table. Well, that's fantastic. Well, we've got one more piece of audio before we go out tonight. Wayne's going to check whether there's any more on the oat cake. And we're going to hear from one of the stars of yesterday's show, which was Joe Allen.
To be perfectly honest, it's, I forgot what it feels like to win a league game. Thankfully, it's come today. I have to say, you know, we were coming to the league leaders away from home today, but fair play, boys left everything out there, did whatever it took to get the win. And it's, you know, it's only one win, but it's hopefully, we've said it before, but hopefully this is really the one that could be a catalyst now for us to go and get more. Get ourselves out of, you know, this mess that we find ourselves in.
And it was a win that you richly deserved over the 90 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think with more confidence, more belief and probably a bit more form and a few more results, that's a game we could have taken away from them with, you know, with a couple more goals. Of course, you're going to come under a little spell of pressure at some point in the game. We did. I thought we defended it brilliant. Blocks, got our blocks in, put our bodies on the line. Feds has had to make saves. But apart from that, limited them. And always looked a threat going the other way, so it's a good feeling for us, not one we've had very regularly, and you know, we're hoping this can be a foundation for us.
You're making such a poor start, heads could have easily dropped given how things have gone this season, but the side showed tremendous character this afternoon.
Yeah, we have. You know, the onus has been on us as players to step up, and there's, you know, time and time again we haven't, to be honest with you. So there's a few hard luck stories, but you know, in lots of elements we haven't been good enough. But we've, I think, we're not a poor team, and I think we've shown that today. We've got good ability, and we have actually got good personalities who want to do well. It's just about being consistent with it, and showing it, you know, week in, week out, rather than, you know, on the odd occasion.
After about 10 minutes, it seemed to be a bit of a tactical shuffle. That seemed to give you a lot more control in the game, didn't it?
It did. It did, and lots being said about, you know, the shape. But you can see, you know, when you do it right, it works, and we were certainly a lot better when we went to that. So, yeah, there's all the sort of confidence we need to really to go with that. And this is considering, you know, a minute into the game, we go a goal behind to the league leaders. So, it took everything today. You know, we didn't let that early setback really get to us too much, and got a win that we've deserved today.
You obviously got that equaliser through Sam Plukas, and you had chances after that. You must have been thinking, oh, it's going to be another hard luck story, but you kept going, and finally you got that winner in the end.
Yeah, I think in games we've sensed, you know, maybe this is a game. You know, when you are pessimistic, you think this is maybe a game where they're going to go and sucker punch us, and it's been that way in recent weeks. Sometimes you can sense out there that the belief isn't quite there. But today, despite that early goal, I didn't really feel that we ever admitted defeat. Didn't think that we would lose a game, and it's important that we have that mindset, I think, you know, for the rest of the season now.
People have suggested that maybe the players aren't behind the manager, but I suppose that kind of be put to bed today, because you don't come to the league leaders and win away from home like you do if you aren't.
When a team's suffering, so much rubbish gets talked. So many people, you know, who are clueless really, want to give their, you know, want to give their verdict, but the lads have, at no point have they not been behind the manager, and today's performance is all you need to know really to show that. And you know, him and his staff, you know, they deserve that win today as much as anyone else.
Do you feel as though this could be a kickstart that you need for the season?
I hope so. We've had a few little false dawns. I've had so many in my seasons here, but felt like a proper team today. You know, a mountain to climb, but that'll give us confidence. I'm sure it will, and we've got to have the belief that it will be at some point.
Well, that was a very honest, I think, interview with Joe Allen there. We've got some more posts on Facebook. Get your quick predictions in for the game against Fulham and your teams for against Fulham in the last couple of minutes we've got. Wayne's not got any more on the outcake, so Facebook it'll be from now on, I think. Chris Scott says, if memory serves me right, Tony Scholes was appointed as a director when Keith Humphreys stepped down. I think you need a certain amount of directors. Stokey Matt says, Jones has got his mojo back. He believes he's staying, in my opinion. Post-match Swansea win. He states that we're going to give a team a battering. I saw that on the official website. Roger Barney says, best back for us for the season. Edwards, Bart, Vickers, Bruno and Shawcross. Chris Scott says, it's not hard for Tom Ince to impress in training. He'd be up against James McLean. Good point, Chris. Neil Price says his team versus Fulham is Federici, Edwards, Bruno Martins, Indy, Bart, Vickers, Allen and Dye, Thibaut, Plukas, Hogan and Gregory. And Neil thinks we'll win 2-1. I'll ask you in a minute what you think the score is going to be, Wayne. Steve Breeze says, to be fair, there have only been a few games where we've been really bad. We've hit the post and crossbar many times. If the luck changes and we continue yesterday's effort, we'll be fine with Nathan Jones. Dan Ayer says Stoke 2, Fulham 0. Scott Price says Stoke City 2, Fulham 0. Gary Pardy says Stoke 3, Fulham 1. And the same team as Neil has picked. What do you think will be the score, Wayne, against Fulham?
As long as Fulham has a 0 by the end of it, I don't care.
Do you think we'll win?
I think we'll win 1-0.
Okay. Well, I'm going for Stoke 2, Fulham 1. Angie's gone for Stoke 3, Fulham 1. My goodness me, I can't believe this. Angie's so positive about this at the moment. Martin Eagle says, team versus Fulham, Butland back. Bruno Martins, Indy, Cameron Carter, Vickers, Barth, Edwards, Alan Clickus and Diatiba. I think that four picks itself at the moment if available. Hogan and Vokes,
2-1 win. Bob Biddulph says, Fulham, comfortable win. They're lethal in front of goal and tight at the back. We will stand a chance if we keep McLean out and play two strikers. Steve Roberts, my goodness. When was the last time we saw that figure in front of Stoke? Stoke 3, Fulham 2. I mean, it's got to happen sometimes, Steve. And, you know, it could well be happening sooner rather than later. Let's hope we'll start winning some games. I'll tell you if we start scoring three every week. Steve Bree says, Stoke 2, Fulham 0. What do you think about the team, by the way, for Fulham? I haven't asked you that, have I? So, would you play? Would you keep the back four as it is?
Yes.
Would you keep Edwards in and not put Smith in?
Yeah.
I think keep Bruno Martins in the left side.
I think we've got to keep that side. Yeah.
Okay. Ted says Stoke 2, Fulham 1, which is brilliant. So we're nearing the end of the show now. What I would say is, before the end of the show, without Wayne tonight, we wouldn't have had a show. So thank you so much for coming in, Wayne, and having a go for your first...
Well, you were a friend, but no longer now. You're off the Christmas list.
Fantastic. No, yeah. Listen.
I feel like I've turned up for a game to watch, and you've only got 10 men on the back come and play last minute.
Don't you worry about
it,
mate.
It was a privilege to be asked.
Without you, we wouldn't have had a show tonight, and that's the main thing, and people at home should remember that, because that's the story.
Well, I'll go out on a high because we won.
Well, this is it. We've won, and I'm sure you'll be back again. So, like I say, what we're going to go out with tonight is a tune from U2. I wonder if you can guess which one it's going to be.
Still haven't found what I'm looking for.
No, actually, it could have been that. It's actually With or Without You we're going to go out to tonight, because that really sums up, are we going to be with or without Nathan James by the next time we play, with or without you, U2. Good night, everybody.
Night.